Welcome back to the Townships at 12. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen, and in the second part of today's show, I will be talking with Nick Ron. Nick is with the Transcestry Sherba Group, and he will be talking about a global campaign going on right now about consent. I will also have some health news, but first we will hear the song called I Am Light. It's by India Arie. Campaign is launching right here in the Eastern Townships to help us all take a closer look at what real consent means. The Table de Concertation en Violence Sexuelle de l'Estrie has just unveiled its first ever campaign on consent, available at monconsentement.ca. It goes beyond the simple ideas of yes means yes and no means no, to explore those more complicated everyday situations, the so-called gray zones, where consent can sometimes be harder to define. The goal is to encourage open conversation, reflection, and respect in all kinds of relationships. To tell us more about this important initiative and what it means for our community, We're joined today by Nick Ron. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Nick Ron to the Townships at 12. Now, Nick is from Transestree, and he is here to talk about an awareness campaign on consent. So to begin, can you tell us a little bit about this campaign on consent and what inspired its creation?
For sure. Hi, Maureen. It's great to be here and spreading the word of our campaign to the Anglo population of Quebec as well. It's actually more than a sexual consent campaign. It's a global consent campaign. We had discussions around the Table de Concertation Violence Sexuelle en Estrie, TCVSE for short, about the topic and decided that we needed to inform the general public on the very basics because statistically we see that 55% of Canadians don't actually understand what the concept of consent is. Consent is and should be a key part in nearly any activity. It's about respecting people's boundaries and right to make decisions for themselves, no matter what demographics you're part of. For me, that's what's so important about this collaboration. The TCVSE unites a bunch of different partners, organizations, and healthcare system representatives, all with the same goal, to prevent abusive consent and help those who've experienced that get the support that they need to heal from it. We come from a variety of backgrounds, but this issue affects all of us. Upholding respect and consent is really all of our responsibility.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, the campaign is available through the website molconsentmont.ca. What can people find there, and how do you hope it will be used?
Yeah, on the website, you can find more information on the five dimensions of consent and why they're important. I'm also going to go into detail in a minute here as well. The website gives specific examples of how the different dimensions can be applied to a multitude of situations with many different kinds of people. It also contains links to various local resources for those who would like more information on how to best uphold consent and also provides support for people who feel their consent has been violated. Some of these resources can help people through therapeutic support, a safe place to share their experiences, as well as helping people make reports to the police if they choose to go that route.
Now, you mentioned that the campaign goes beyond the simple yes means yes and no means no. Can you explain what that means and what kinds of situations you're hoping to address?
Yeah, the thing about consent is that it's not always that simple. If it was, we wouldn't have this campaign and we wouldn't see statistics like 1 in 4 people have said that they agree or are neutral about the statement, it's sometimes okay to not ask for consent. For example, consent doesn't necessarily need to be verbal and it must be continuous. If someone says yes to participating in one activity, that doesn't mean that they're comfortable participating in another. It's about paying attention to your partner's body language and needs as well. No means no always applies. If someone objects or is uncomfortable with something, either verbally or physically, we must respect others' boundaries and comfortability. We can have the conversation to figure out why they're uncomfortable. Maybe they need more information about the activity, for example. But in the end, if someone doesn't want to do something, we don't press the issue. That no means no.
Now, the idea of gray zones in consent can be hard to define. Can you give us an example of what that might look like in everyday life?
For sure, yeah. So-called gray zones are what can really make things tricky. For example, like I just said, someone can enthusiastically consent to one type of activity, but when it progresses to something else, can be less comfortable. We want to still encourage informed exploration, and that can be a little daunting when you're trying something new, but having the ongoing conversation of, is everyone still comfortable and having a good time? That's tracing the lines to better navigate those gray areas. We also see a common gray area with consent while under the influence of substances as well. It's about asking yourself and other people involved those questions. Does everyone feel like they're in a good enough headspace to make good judgment calls? It's about curiosity and respect. That's the best way to kind of navigate those situations.
Now, the campaign explores 5 key dimensions of consent: voluntary and informed, revocable, without power imbalance, safe and autonomous. Which of these do you find people struggle with the most to understand or apply?
Yeah, this is a big part of our campaign, actually. I think voluntary and informed are simple enough to understand. That we must be giving consent without being pressured, that we fully understand what we're participating in and the possible effects of it. Revocable at all times is what I've been talking about already. It's an ongoing conversation to inform our decisions, even as situations evolve and progress. Without a power imbalance is the concept of authority. Again, I hope this one's clear. If you have a rapport of authority with someone, you have a lot more power over the situation, even if it doesn't feel like it. Whatever that authority may be, a boss, a teacher, a parent, you have an obligation to understand the implied power you have over someone and how that pressure can get them to agree to consent to something they don't necessarily want to do. Safe, everyone has the right to safety. If someone is being coerced, pressured, bribed, or misled, that's unsafe. If there's a real risk to your personal safety without proper safeguards in place, consent cannot be freely given. For sure, I think the one people are going to struggle with is autonomous. Not something we really talk about all that much. Autonomy means the right to make decisions for ourselves and for our body. Really, it's applicable to all of the other dimensions. It's also the dimension that plays the biggest role in non-sexual consent. Bodily autonomy is something that we talk about a lot in my community, the trans community, that is. The right to make decisions about our health, how we define the parts of our body and our identity, even how we dress, all plays into autonomy. Bodily autonomy is something that is a right for every human being. I would argue it's crucial to uphold respect for all other people in this world. This also extends to conversations we have with people, how we navigate interactions with others. For example, a very unfortunate question that trans people get asked is what gender we were assigned at birth, or literally what type of genitals we have. I hope everyone listening can understand how very strange, uncomfortable, and violating that question is. I wouldn't ask a stranger what color their underwear is. That's weird. Why do you want to know that? I also think the classic example of someone being pregnant and another person touching their stomach without asking them also really highlights this. Anytime you touch someone without their consent, that is a lack of respect for someone's bodily autonomy.
Now, how can this campaign help people, both young and old, have more open and respectful conversations about consent?
Well, what's really great about this campaign is that it's literally applicable to everyone because consent isn't just essential in sexual context. It's essential for respect. So for young people, for children, learning that they have the right to tell their relatives they don't want to give them a hug. Some days we don't want to be touched even by people we love, and that's okay. This extends further into their life when they start thinking about consent in more sexual contexts. For older people, using the same example of a relative wanting physical affection from their family member, sometimes when kids don't want to give that affection, it can be seen as a lack of respect or love for their family. It can make some people upset that their younger family member doesn't want to participate, but that's their bodily right, and it's a matter of respecting everyone's boundaries, no matter the age or situation.
Why is this kind of education especially important for communities here in the Eastern Townships?
Well, unfortunately, in the region, our partners have seen an increase in the number of cases brought to authorities concerning sexual violence, and our resources to help people who have been affected by it are seeing increases in demand. This also only represents the population of people who actually have access to those resources. There's still a huge stigma and burden attached with seeking help, so these numbers are usually estimated to be well underreported. Many awareness campaigns also tend to be centralized in bigger cities in Quebec and other places, and aren't accessible to people in more rural communities. Access to support resources in those areas aren't talked about as much, and there are many local organizations all over the region that aren't necessarily recognized because they don't have the capacity to effectively advertise their services locally. From the queer community, rural resources can be ill-prepared to deal with our realities and not understand or flatly discriminate against us in their services.
If listeners want to learn more or take part in the discussions or share this resource, what's the best way for them to get involved?
Yeah, well, we would love it if more people had regular discussions around consent and how it plays a role in every day of our lives. You can go to the website www.monconsentement, that's CONSENTEMENT.ca, and visit the Facebook page for the campaign to go into more details, scenarios, and examples. But just having those talks with your family, friends, and loved ones of how important it is to respect the decisions that we make about ourselves and our bodies. It's also important to pay attention to how the people in our lives talk about consent and respecting other boundaries in all spheres. If you're interested in learning more how this plays a role in relationships, I published a guide with Transesprit called Am I the Problem in English and C'est-tu violence in French to help people better understand beliefs and behaviors that can lead to problematic situations in relationships, as well as presenting positive, equitable relationship models based on respect and shared decision-making. If you want to know more about making your place of work, organization, services more accessible to trans and gender diverse people, we also have a published guide called Hébergement pour tous with reflection questions, ideas to improve accommodation, and legal obligations for people to follow. I also have links to our specific resources as well. You can find the links to those two guides at www.transesprit.com. ORG under our guides and resources tab, or email us at info@transesprit.org. We have a Facebook and Instagram page where we post regularly and share a calendar of events for the month.
Okay, lots of resources. Anything else we left out, Nick, you'd like to add?
Not really. Thank you so much for the opportunity to give this campaign, the table, and our organization a platform today. I think that I hope it's evident enough that consent is a really important part in literally all of the interactions that we have in life, and that it is the basis for respect. So I'm very pleased to be part of this campaign and really leading it with so many great partners.
How long does the campaign last? It's on now, and when does it finish?
Yeah, it's from October 20th to November 20th.
Okay, well, we've been talking with Nick Ron today. Nick is from TransEstuary, and he has been talking to us about a campaign on consent. So we thank you very much, and all the best on the campaign.
Thank you so much. I think it's going to go really well.
Thank you. Bye.
Hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all in the darkness. No, inside you make you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show.
Was Cindy Lauper, and the song is called True Colors. And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Now, as the first snowflakes of the season begin to fall, it's easy to get caught up in the beauty of it all. The fresh white landscape, the crisp air, and that first real taste of winter. But those early snowfalls can also bring a few health and safety challenges that are worth keeping in mind. One of the biggest risks during the first snow is slips and falls. When temperatures hover around freezing, snow often mixes with rain and ice, creating slick sidewalks and hidden patches of black ice. It's important to slow down, wear boots with good traction, and take smaller steps when walking outdoors. For seniors or anyone with mobility issues, a walking pole or ice grips can add extra stability. Then there's shoveling. It may look harmless, but it's actually quite demanding on the body. Every year, hospitals see a spike in back injuries and even heart attacks after the first big snowfall. Cold air constricts blood vessels and makes your heart work harder. So if you're heading out to shovel, remember to warm up first, take frequent breaks, and push the snow instead of lifting it when possible. And if you have any heart or respiratory issues, it's best to ask for help or hire someone to clear the driveway for you. Driving also deserves extra attention. The first snow can make roads slick, and many drivers haven't yet adjusted to winter conditions. Give yourself more time to stop, make sure your tires are in good shape, and keep an emergency kit in your car just in case. Finally, the first snow often brings a drop in daylight and temperature, which can affect mood and energy levels. Try to get outside during the day for some daylight exposure, dress warmly in layers, and keep moving. Staying active helps combat those early winter blues. So, as we welcome the beauty of the season, take a few extra precautions. A little care now can help you stay safe, healthy, and ready to enjoy everything in winter. And that's our health news today here on the Townships at 12. I want to thank my two guests today in the first half hour, Xavier Francias, for the Youth for Youth program. Check out the Spill the Tea event coming up on November 20th at the Townships Association's office located at 3355 College Street in Lenoxville. And in the second half hour, Nick Ron for the Global Consent Campaign going on until November 21st. And if anybody belongs to a nonprofit organization and you have an event coming up, please send me an email at cjmqnews@gmail.com describing the event, and I will announce it on my show for free. Also, if someone has an idea for an interview, please email me at cjmqnews@gmail.com. We will close today's show with Christina Perry, and the song is called Human. And remember that the Thursday show is repeated on Friday at noon, and it will be up on our website later today under the Shows tab. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
By my tongue, I can stay awake for days if that's what you want. Be a number one. I can fake a smile. I can force a dance and play the part if that's what you ask. Give you all I am. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. But I'm only human, and I bleed. I'm only human, and I crash and I break down. Your words in my head, knives in my heart. You build me up and then I fall apart. 'Cause I'm only worlds if that's what you need. I can take so much till I've had enough. Cause I'm a-